Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 139, Entrepreneurship, Personal Freedom, or Personal Prison. How's that for a title?
Looks, sounds great, Chief.
Yeah, it sure does. So let's just bang right through these. What does it mean to be an entrepreneur in today's society versus what it was when you were just starting out? Because I have a feeling it's changed a lot.
It is so different, and that's only 20 years. And those 20 years, in a way, it seems like a million years ago. In a way, it seems like it was yesterday. Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, holy shit, I've been doing this for 20 years. It doesn't seem that long. But there was my business before social media, and then there was my business after social media. So for the first 10 years that I was in business, maybe a little bit less than that, nine, there was no social media that was impacting business at all. And then it started to impact business. So technology has changed everything.
Yeah, you can touch them immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. Whereas before, because I know you've told the story many times about how you got a list and you called people and you would send out direct mail campaigns. You're talking snail mail campaigns. Right. Now you can go on any one of the socials and you have access to those people immediately.
Yeah. Yep. And that was the thing. Like, I hear people, they'll be in seminars and they'll be like, where would I find people to sell to? And I'm thinking to myself, are you fucking out of your mind? I would have killed to have access to everybody on the planet through social media. It was literally door knocking. It was thousands and thousands of phone calls. It was 18 hours a day on the phone. It was traveling all over and being able to speak anywhere that they would let me on a stage. And then following up with all those people on the phone. So today we can not, it's that the resource of social media has. So for instance, when I would look for places to go speak, I had a process that I would use. I realized very quick that if I just get the average person who doesn't have any influence, then I am like quadrupling my work by thousands because I got to work my way up to get all these people one and one and one and one. If I find somebody who has influence, they'll put me in front of thousands of people, and I'm basically making one sale to 1,000 versus 1,000 sales to one person, right?
Right.
So then the problem became the challenge. How do I find these people? How do I get introduced to them? How do I develop a relationship with them? How can I help them? That was a lot of fucking work, T. I mean, when I tell you I worked 16, 18 hours a day every day, I mean, it was like that. My kids would go to bed. I'd be on the phone till 2 a.m. And it was constantly looking for people, constantly, constantly, constantly.
Yeah.
Now, there's influencers all over the world. They stand out as influencers, and we can literally reach them through social media. We can identify who they are. I mean, you couldn't even identify who they were before. How would you find them? Right? How would you find them?
Yeah, you would.
Unless they were on TV.
Yeah, the local television stations.
Right,
yeah,
right.
You would know. And that would be just very niche. Yeah. It would be in just that general area.
Yeah, for those of you millennials out there, the way we found things was we had this 2,000-page book. It was all yellow. It was called the Yellow Pages. And you had to look through the Yellow Pages and find the store and the phone number and the address and go there.
That's true. Back in the day when you remembered phone numbers. We don't have that anymore. Ask me mine, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. We had pizza delivery, but it usually took 2 hours.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
But we got our pizza.
Yes. So true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's different today. Today we have potential access to just about everybody. So it's a matter of understanding that and then learning how to use it. But here's the thing. So does all your customer. So does all your competition.
Right.
Have access to the same people. And I was explaining this to a group of people a couple of weeks ago that our competition, basically whatever you do, is global at this point, where 20 years ago, your competition, like if you were, you could basically, if you were in a decent sized city, you could basically stay in business for a long time and nobody knew you were there, right? And you could develop this, this little client base and they didn't go anywhere else. They stayed with you. You know, there was, it was like an ignorant type of loyalty, but everybody was happy. Today, everybody and their brother can find out what you're doing and they can strategically try to take your customers from you because they know who your customers are. They're all over your Facebook account. They're all over your Instagram. They're, you know, it's not difficult to find anybody's customers and people do it all the time. And hey, that's competition. But that's, so that's how the world's changed. It's easier to get to people, but it's also easier to take them from everybody else.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, you know, in the 20 years you've been in business, it's changed hundreds of times. And now forecast 20 years from now what it's going to be like, it's going to be absolutely insane because you're just getting more and more people flooding the entrepreneurial market because it's an option. For me, it was never an option. My career was going to be a job. I was going to get a job. I was going to cash a check. I was going to retire. And then I was going to golf. Right.
Yeah.
So nowadays it seems like that's actually an option. You can go to college and take entrepreneurial courses. There's degrees now when that wasn't even a thing, even when I was in school 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
So it's changed and continues to evolve. Now, we can all agree here that being an entrepreneur is no walk in the park. In fact, we'd probably argue it's more difficult than a job. You're responsible for everything that happens in your business. Sure, you may have dreamed it, but many people realize that this monster that you refer to in the episode requires a high level of dedication, desire, and drive. So what advice would you give to someone who's listening to this, who's considering leaving their job and going into business for themselves?
I would say that if you're not 100% sure that you want to do it, you know, this is a weird thing. It really is a weird thing. Like what would I actually say? I would say, make sure you know what you're getting into. But even when I say that, I think to myself, sometimes it's better that you don't know. Because if you knew everything that you were going to have to do, if it started to scare you in the beginning, you wouldn't have a chance to grow into it. And I really don't. I think that there's people that take on challenges in different ways. Some people grow into them.
Sure.
Right? Sometimes, you know, everything all at once is just a little too frightening for a person. And then there will be people out there be like, well, they shouldn't be in business. I don't agree with that because they're not going to get everything all at once when they're in business. They're going to grow into different challenges. And I think that we are ready for whatever challenge comes to us if we understand that we're ready. That means that that's the truth and your story is a lie. So understand what you're getting into. You know, have a vision for where you want to go. Understand what needs to be done so you can do it effectively. Learn the skill sets. You know, sales is the number one skill set, man. And that in all of life.
Always.
Earl Nightingale said that back in the 50s. Sales was the number one skill set to navigate your way through life. You have to sell your wife. You have to sell your husband. You got to sell your kids. You got to sell teachers. You got to sell everybody something. Right. If you don't understand that, then you're seriously operating at a deficit trying to move through life. And it definitely needs you definitely need to reconcile that with yourself if you're in business. If you don't understand how to sell, you can't negotiate. You can't negotiate prices. You can't negotiate terms. You can't sell to a client base. You can't network with anybody. Like, what do I have to offer? What do you have to offer?
Right.
That's the number one thing. And if you master it, you'll always have it as a default if things get rough, right?
Yeah.
So I tell people in business all the time, you know, I understand you need to learn marketing. You may need to learn copywriting. I'm not a copywriter, but we hire people to do that. But I understand selling very well. And the idea is that if something goes wrong, like what if, it probably never happened. What if the internet went down tomorrow?
Right.
What would people
what would
do?
You do?
They wouldn't know what the fuck to do.
No.
Right? They wouldn't be able to drive down the block because they wouldn't have their
ways would not be up and they wouldn't be able to real time traffic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. So if you know how to sell, you'll be able to survive no matter what happens to the world because everybody's always going to need something. There's always going to be the people that have the resources and they're going to be selling them to the people that don't have the resources.
Yeah, and it's the most scary situation for most of the people. Like we see a lot of new entrepreneurs who come into your room and they're looking for these magic bullets that are going to help them to succeed in their business. And you always tell them the same thing. If you know how to sell, you can do that over and over and over again, no matter what it is, whether it's an online product or whether it's a car down the street. As long as you know how to sell, then you'll never go without. But isn't it funny that that's the one thing that they almost dig their heels in and refuse to do? They want to put together the website. They want to get their Facebook following. They want to be posting on all the socials, which those are valuable. Don't get me wrong. We get that. But at the same time, you've got to be selling to people and you've got to be asking for the sale. I think that's the big thing that often goes unnoticed in this whole conversation.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, totally. So let's talk process, because process is a big part of this episode. And that comes up a lot in the rooms you speak in as well. In the episode, you asked the question, do you love the process? I have a feeling that, if the answer to that is not a slam dunk yes, then you're more than likely going to struggle. Now, the question is, can you nurture a love of process, essentially building the plane while you're flying it? And if you can nurture that love of process, how do you go about building that love?
Well, I think that it's, you ask yourself what, you know, so if you're building your business, and now it's starting to expand, because in the beginning it's just you. What do you love to do and what do you not love to do? Because it's really important that you continue to do exactly what it is that you love to do. But there are some key components to this with if you own a business. You have to love owning it. You have to love being the person that gives it direction, that gives it vision. I mean, you can hire a CEO, you can hire a COO, you can hire all the people to do the management stuff and everything, but ultimately it's your vision that they're building out, right? And it's a big thing. That's why there's not that many of them. I mean, a person has to be really clear, because the second you do it, the world is going to say stop. A business is really a lifetime of overcoming no's. That's right. What it is.
It's true.
Right? Because you need to be accepted on all kinds of different levels by your marketplace in order for them to purchase from you and then to repurchase from you.
Yeah, right? And you will hear way more no's than you do yeses.
Forever.
100%.
For your whole business.
100%.
All businesses hear more no's than they hear yeses.
Right. Right. And they still manage to press on, and you should
they
as
do.
Well. Yeah. Your quote also was, you're never going to build a business unless you love the business of what you do. And you actually just repeated it, which is a perfect segue here. So what does loving the business of what you do look like in your company?
Okay. So to start off with, I know exactly why I'm here and what my mission is on the planet.
Which is that vision you spoke of earlier.
Which is a big vision. Yeah, it's a very, very big vision. And I love number one, teaching. I love being on stage. This is all the part of the doing thing. I love the creating things that help people, whether it's business or mindset. And I love helping people break through the mental thresholds that they have in life and the inaccurate belief systems. I also love the idea from a business perspective now, because that's really kind of like that's what we sell, what the product or service that we offer. I love the idea of creating a company that adds to the lives of all the employees that work here, and creating an environment that they love to be in, so that they can do the very best with their lives and hopefully be able to provide an opportunity to be able to do that. But then to expand on that. So I love the sales. I love to sit down with Steph and strategize about where we're going as a company. I'm not one to sit here and make up a Facebook page or a marketing page, you know, any of that stuff. But as far as giving the direction and finding the people that can do those things, those are the parts that I love about it.
That's great. What are some things a person doesn't think about when going into business for themselves?
They don't think they're going to have to sell. One of the things that it's still rampant, that people think that if they have a great product or service that everybody's going to come to them and they won't have to sell anything. It's not true. That's great when that happens. And if you have a really hot product that gets a lot of exposure somehow, then could you have that happen? Yes. But here's the thing. Most of a person's career, that does not happen, right? You don't have a product that the world's trying to beat your door down trying to get. Some people do. Some people do create that thing that fits in the marketplace just perfectly and everybody wants it, like the iPhone, right?
Right.
But most companies have a business that requires a lot of marketing, a lot of sales in order to get people to to come to them. So I think that understanding that your company is about selling and or finding or creating a marketplace for what you want goes way beyond the idea that you love your product. Because just because you love your product doesn't mean everybody's going to love your product. Just because you understand how valuable it is doesn't mean everybody else understands how valuable it is. So it's also about having the patience to put in the systems of communication, both marketing, sales, advertising, like we do like with the podcast. That's right. Part one of our things. Sure. To communicate to the audience and give them the value so that they understand the value ahead of time and they're able to make a conscious choice for what it is that they want. I really think that a person needs to sit down and think beyond their product or service and realize, you know, you're doing something that probably has the potential of doing something really great, but the chances of it doing great are like almost 100% in your corner about what you're willing to do to make that happen. And if I've seen anything bring people to their knees and make them cry, it's when the business isn't working, right? Because it can be, people get very romantic about why it should work versus understanding the truth about why the fuck it's not. And really doing the hard work about why it's not and then finding a way to fix that so that it does.
Yeah, it looks a lot different on paper than it does in practice. Sure. Like, it's so funny you bring this up because when I went into business for myself and opened up and bought into a franchise, I created this elaborate Excel spreadsheet, and it had all the money I was going to make over the course of the next 25, 30 years, and it was churning out millions of dollars. I never took a penny out of that business in 10 years. Not a penny. But on paper, it looked beautiful. But yeah. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go knock on doors for businesses and sell my product. I didn't pick up the phone and network with local radio stations or things like that to get my information out there to people. I failed in that regard because when I went into business, I just thought people were going to come and knock on my door and want my product. I didn't realize the work that was going to go into that. And after 10 years, we shut that sucker down. Like the fact that we made it 10 years was something. But it's funny because on paper, it was a cash machine. In practice, it was the absolute opposite. And I fell for the trap. And I think a lot of people out there probably do the same. Yeah. It's that sales piece again. It's a common thread that I think is going to be coming up when we talk more and more about entrepreneurs in this episode.
Well, it's like everybody thinks that their franchise or their company is going to be like a McDonald's, right? Where everybody's going to come to them because it's a big name. And with a lot of companies, just because it's a big name doesn't mean the people are going to come there. And because it's not just come, they've got to come with an adequate amount of repeated desire to purchase from you.
Sure.
In order for it to be a business.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's not the one-off people. It's the people who are coming back over and over and over again that you're going to really make money, because through that, more and more people are attracted to the product just through, hey, I saw that you had that, or that's really cool. Where'd you get that? That word of mouth really kicks in.
Yep.
In the episode, you also touched on entitlement, which I know we've had many spirited discussions about that. It seems to be rampant in our nation and probably across the globe in certain parts. How do we get away from entitlement and move toward what you referred to as diligent work to achieve the success we desire?
Personal responsibility. That's the name of the game. Like, we're not entitled to a damn thing. Everything is here for us based on the law of cause and effect. And if we get the equivalent of what we grow into, that's it. No more, no less. This idea that any person, business, world, religious figure, meaning like God or spirit or whatever, owes us something is ludicrous. We're not entitled to anything. And we're sitting on the edge of the most prosperous we've ever seen the world. You know, we look back in history, we're doing better now than we ever have before. Generally, probably everybody listening to this can probably honestly say that their life is better than their grandparents' life. So where's the entitlement coming from? I think a lot of it's created by marketers. To be honest with you,
sure.
It's about marketing to the idea that you can get something for nothing. And it's also marketers also meaning like the news, like the media, marketing to the idea of victimization and pain in people's lives. Look, we create our own victimization. That's just the truth. Being a victim's a choice, period. That's what it is.
True.
So if we're not willing to accept responsibility for ourselves in every area of our life, then we walk around thinking that everybody else has to change so that we'll feel better, we can get what we want. That's craziness. It's utter fucking craziness. Joseph Campbell said, the treasure you seek is in the cave you fear to enter. That cave most people fear to enter is responsibility. If you take 100% responsibility for yourself and you walk into that cave that you're afraid to enter, that's where the freedom is. That's where all freedom comes from. People are locked into an idea of being judged, being seen. They can't be vulnerable. We were talking with Gary the other day, but all the mental illness that's going on in the world, like we're breeding this stuff. We're breeding it because there's no resiliency in what people have to do anymore. So, you know, what was the old saying? The idle mind is the workshop for the devil.
Yes.
That's why people are fucking off the rails.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. So we'll wind this down. We've had some very successful entrepreneurs on this very podcast in your Movers and Shakers series. And I'd encourage anyone who's out there to go back and scroll your feed and look at some of the people who are in there and listen to those episodes and listen to the stories that they tell and the successful mind tips that they leave behind, because there's some really powerful nuggets in there. But what I want to ask you, David, and I hope this doesn't put you on the spot too much, is there a common thread that runs through each of those amazing people we've had on this show in Movers and Shakers?
Well, I would think that the desire to fulfill their vision in life, their dream, is a common thread that runs through it. All the ones that I know personally, I can tell you that there's a work ethic that's unbelievable, that's on there, that it runs through all of them. There's a resiliency that runs through all of them.
I think that's what I would say too. After having listened to these episodes and watched you have these conversations with them, it's their commitment to the process. Like this is what they want to do. They've got a big audacious vision that they want to fulfill. They're sticking it through. They fall flat on their face many times, but they pick themselves back up. They probably had every excuse with which to quit and they didn't, which is where that resiliency piece comes in. And they continue every single day to work, you know, not just in their business, but on their business. I think that's the big thing.
Positivity.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
That's one thing that right through the
heart of
all of
them. Because there's going to be times when it sucks, right? I mean, you go through that. It's not always 100% incense and peppermints, right?
Right.
It's hard. And the more people understand that and realize that, the more they're going to say, I'm hitting this terror barrier, whatever you want to call it. I'm really struggling to do this. Just on the other side, I'm going to break through it, like walking into that dark cave, like you mentioned a moment ago.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. So everybody listen to this. Think about this. Can you honestly say the worst? You wake up in the morning and you come to work, you go into your business, and I don't know what the worst thing is for you, but figure the worst thing happened, right? Not in your personal life, but in your business. Can you welcome it with open arms and be grateful for it? Seriously, not fluff bullshit, but seriously be grateful for it in the knowing that if you honestly figure out how to overcome whatever happened, you're going to be better for it. If you can do that, you're probably doing the right thing. If you can't, you better go get a job working for somebody else.
Right.
That's the deal. I mean, when something shows up that I don't like, I may get triggered for a second, but then I fall back and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This happened for a reason, and it only happened for a good reason, not a bad reason. It is going to make us better. It'll make us stronger. It'll make us smarter. But we have to look at it from a place of gratitude and move through it.
Yeah, that's great.
And responsibility. Like, what did I do to cause this?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What the fuck did I do to cause this? If I can sit down and go, okay, you fucked up. You got a setback. You did this. You did that. Here's what you did to cause this. Now I've got the opportunity to grow and be better.
Yeah, and it's in the past and you can't change it anyway, so you might as well learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, last question, hard-hitting question. Best entrepreneurial movie of all time. Now, I've got a list if you want me to read some off.
Okay.
Do you have one that came to your head? Because I didn't want to put you on a spot a second time in this.
Well, now
episode.
I want to know what's on your list.
Okay, because I think I know what you're going to say, the answer to this list that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you 10.
Okay.
So best entrepreneurial movie of all time. So, and people may disagree. Well, that's not a movie about entrepreneurs. Just deal with it. This is the list I pulled from the webs. Wolf of Wall Street, Jobs, Risky Business, Trading Places, Wall Street, Glengarry Glen Ross, The Game, Boiler Room, The Social Network, The Aviator. Anything jumping out at you on that list of the best entrepreneurial movies of all time?
Well, you know what? Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that they all have very unique qualities to them that could put them in. What's jumping out to you? Because you're sitting over here like a rat with the cheese.
Well, there's certain movies that if I'm scrolling through, I can start watching it an hour in and I'll sit and watch it. One of those happens to be Boiler Room.
Yeah.
So I, for some reason, I'm always watching that movie and I pick it up at any particular place. I also recently watched Risky Business again, which I thought was a hilarious, very interesting movie that had some serious tones to it. You know, Tom Cruise and all that jazz was very interesting. And I loved, and I didn't know about this movie until you told me about it, The Game.
Yeah.
And that's the one I thought you were going to say because that movie blew my flipping mind.
That's the best movie on self-awareness.
Yeah, 100%.
Best movie on self-awareness because that's what it takes to become self-aware.
And I'd be willing to bet there's people out there who have no idea what we're talking about.
Nope, never heard of it before.
No, it's really under the radar, right?
And it's old now. It's like 22 years old, I think.
It is.
It came out in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you forgot the movie about McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, The Founder.
The Founder.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic. I think, you know, what I like about The Founder is the simplicity of it. And people can understand the magnitude of it when they watch it. But here's the thing. So here's a challenge for everybody. Go watch The Founder. And ask yourself, number one, do you actually believe the way that they told the story was the truth? And who do you find yourself siding with in all of that? Are you going to make Ray Kroc out to be the evil business guy and you side with the McDonald brothers? Or are you going to make Ray Kroc out to be the genius who figured it out and you side with him and not the McDonald brothers? Like the McDonald brothers created their own demise because they needed to play it safe. It's very interesting to see where, and you know, when you watch something like that, just see what I kind of like, ask yourself, honestly, what do I feel as I'm watching this? It doesn't mean that you can't change it, right? It may wake you up to a place where you can be like, oh, you know what? I get it. So this is some kind of entitlement or siding with victimization that I brought up from, you know, my childhood or something like that. Go watch it and see how it feels when you watch it. Or if you have watched it, ask yourself, how did you feel, you know, when you watched it? It's an interesting wake-up call.
It is. I can't believe I didn't put that on our list. It's interesting that you said that, and I'll close with this. You had said that when I watched that movie the first time, I just watched it cold, and I was entertained, and I did find myself siding with one side or the other. Then I had a conversation with you. I went back and watched it again, and then I sort of saw it completely differently. And then it sent me down a rabbit hole reading Grinding It Out, which is, you know, the Ray Kroc book that he wrote about it. It really just brought around full circle what you had just said. It's completely and totally a powerful show to watch and definitely a good book to read.
Yeah, absolutely. The every business is because someone has recognized and maximized an opportunity that somebody else didn't see, period.
There it is.
Doesn't matter if the McDonald brothers were the nicest guys in the world. I hope they were.
Right.
Right? Doesn't matter. That's the way it works. That there is, and here's the thing. They didn't lose. They walked away with a hell of a lot of money for what they had actually done, you know? So.
Yeah. That's a good pick. Well, thank you for adding to my list. I thought you did a very nice job there.
Thank you. Thanks for coming up with the list.
Yeah, totally. That was great. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for sticking around. Went a little bit over on this one, but I don't think you're going to mind. So go back, listen to the episode, Entrepreneurship, Personal Freedom or Personal Prison, and let us know what you think. Send us an email. You can do that at tsm@davidnagel.com or pop us some feedback on our voicemail system. That is speakpipe.com/DavidNagel. Thanks, David.
Later. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.